That message was a blessing.
Amen.
Would you turn to Genesis chapter 7? Genesis, the 7th chapter. Verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. The Lord sees real well. He sees things as they are. You and I don't. We see people's appearance. We don't know what's going on inside. We can't even really see very clearly about ourselves. But the Lord seeth not as man seeth. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And when the Lord saw Noah, he saw him as he was, righteous. He didn't look at him and say, well, I'm going to view him as being righteous, even though I know he's not. No, he looked upon Noah and he said, Thee have I seen as righteous before me in this generation. I've entitled this message, How Can a Sinner Be Righteous? Now, the first time the word righteous is used in the Scripture is right here in Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. But would you turn over to Genesis chapter 9 for a moment? Verse 20. And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine, and was drunken, was intoxicated, and was uncovered within his tent. Now this is the same one that God said, Thee have I seen as righteous before me. How can that be? That is the most important question you and I can ever consider. How can that be? How can a sinner be righteous? Before we seek to answer that question from the Scriptures, it's important for us to have some understanding of the terms. First, what does the Bible mean by the word sinner? What is sin? The Bible gives us a lot of definitions. One of my favorites is the plowing of the wicked is sin. If a wicked man does it, it's sin because he did it. Plowing seems to be wholesome, doesn't it? But if a wicked man does it, it's sin. But the verse I would like for us to consider is in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. You don't have to turn there. I'll quote it to you. It says, I forgot. The transgression of the law is sin. The transgression of God's holy law. Let's talk about the Ten Commandments. The transgression of the law is sin. Any lack of perfect conformity to God's holy law is sin. What is the sinner? He's the one who does the sinning. He's the one who breaks God's law. Now remember, when someone commits a crime, we don't put the crime in jail, do we? We put the one who committed the crime into jail. The sinner is the one who has done the sin. He's committed the sin. Now, according to the scriptures, I want you to listen to this real carefully. A sinner is somebody who all he does is break God's holy law. That's it. That's the only way he can be described. He has not kept one commandment one time. Now that's a sinner. What about you? A sinner, all he does is sin. He cannot not sin. He doesn't have the ability to look down his nose at anybody. And he has no claims on God. If God sent him to hell, just and holy is his name. That's what a sinner is. All he's done is sin. He's not kept one commandment one time. Even when he told the truth, he was telling a lie. He wasn't telling it as he should. He was trying to put a different slant on it in order to make himself look better. That's what a sinner is. Now, what is meant by righteous? Remember the question, how can a sinner be righteous? What is meant by the term righteous? Righteousness is a perfect standing before God's holy law. If you're righteous, that means you've never sinned. If you're righteous, that means you've never sinned in thought, you've never sinned in word, you've never sinned in deed. God's holy law looks you over completely and says, I find no fault. No guilt. Perfect. Now, how can a sinner, someone who all they've ever done is sin, how can he be righteous before God? Only the Bible answers that question. There was a man, we're not given his name, but he was in the back of the temple. He wouldn't come up front. He was beating upon his breast, crying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner, the worst man to ever live. That's all he could say. You know what the Lord said about that man? He said, I say unto you, he went down to his house not merely forgiven, justified, without guilt, righteous. There's the word. If you're justified, you're righteous. And you know, the Lord gave no comment about what he meant by that. He just said he went down to his house justified. Didn't tell us how, but he used the rest of the Bible to tell us how. How a sinner can be justified. How a sinner can be righteous before God. Now, when God said to Noah, thee have I seen as righteous before me, he did not say, Noah, I know you're sinful, but I'm going to treat you like you're not. I'm going to view you as righteous, even though I know deep down you're guilty. That wouldn't be just, would it? It wouldn't be righteous. There's no righteousness there. Thee have I seen as righteous before me. Now listen real carefully. There are only two kinds of people in this world. The righteous and the wicked. Everybody in this room is in one of those two groups. The righteous and the wicked. And let me tell you something that I find to be amazing, and I know it's true. All of the wicked, without exception, believe themselves to be righteous. And all of the righteous, without exception, believe themselves to be wicked. Isn't that amazing? It's the truth. You say, well, I know some people who don't believe themselves to be righteous. Yeah, but they think they have the potential to be. I may not be right now, but if the circumstances are right, if I do this, if I can change that. No, you can't. No, you can't. How can Noah, how can Abel, how can that publican, how can you, how can I be righteous before God? Really righteous. Now I've got 5 points to this message. My first point is righteous by union. Would you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2? Verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who sanctifies, and they who are sanctified, those who are the recipients of this great grace, are all of one. They're the same. One. Not two real close together, but one. Not two glued together, but one. For the which cause, he, the Lord Jesus Christ, looks at every one of his people. He looks at me, and he's not ashamed of me. Amen. He's not ashamed to call me his brother. Because I'm one with him. Now, turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. I think this verse of scripture, as much as any other, lets us know just what is meant by union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Now put yourself into John's place. What if the Lord Jesus Christ came to you and said, I want you to baptize me? How would you respond to that? Something's wrong here. I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? This doesn't seem right. Verse 15. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh me to fulfill all righteousness. Did I read that right? Thus it becometh us. When he fulfilled all righteousness, all the us did too.
Amen.
Everything he did as an us. And when he fulfilled God's holy law, so did I.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Now remember, the Bible is inspired. It's written exactly as God would have it. Now listen to the language. Verse 9. The writer to the Hebrews says, and as I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes. Now remember who Levi is. He's the great grandson of Abraham. He had not yet been born. And as I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes. Now, he hadn't been born yet, but he paid tithes, didn't he? Well, how could he do it? He did it. When his grandfather Abraham paid those tithes, he did too. That's what the Bible says. And that's the language the scripture uses. When Christ kept God's holy law, every one of his people did. And this is how a sinner can be righteous, righteous by union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Another scripture that comes to my mind is Romans 5:12. as by one man sin entered the world and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men in that all have sinned. Now notice he doesn't say simply that Adam's sin was charged to them, but he says when he sinned, they sinned. They sinned when he sinned because they're united to him. They're in him. When Christ kept the law, every believer kept the law. Righteous by union. Turn to Romans 4. How can a sinner be righteous before God? Romans chapter 4. Verse 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness. Oh, the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Amen. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now, every time we use the term imputed righteousness, we're wrong. There's no such thing as imputed righteousness. There's only righteousness imputed. It's not like there's this type of righteousness and there's that type of righteousness. David said in Psalm 71:16, I've made mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. Now, why did he only mention his righteousness? Because that's the only righteousness there is. That's why. It's not like there's imputed righteousness and imparted righteousness. There's righteousness imputed. There's righteousness imparted. But you don't use an adjective to describe righteousness. It's God's righteousness. Now, who is that man who's blessed? That man to whom God imputes righteousness without their works. Now, here's the fact of the matter. I am, right now, in and of myself, a very sinful man. Would that be you?
Amen.
A very sinful man. And I really believe that if you saw what was in me, you wouldn't hear me preach. You'd say, I'm not going to listen to him anymore. And if I saw what you'd really like, I'd say, I'm not going to hang out with that person. Stay away. Stay away. That's how hypocritical we are. But the fact of the matter is, I am a very sinful man. But here's my hope. That God does not charge me for my sin. That he took my sin, and he's the only one who has the authority to do this. I couldn't do it. He took my sin and lifted it off of me and placed it upon his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. My sin became his sin. So that he became guilty. It became his sin. He was made sin. God took my sin. He lifted it off of me and placed it upon his Son, and Christ Jesus the Lord became guilty, guilty, guilty of my sin. And he died the way I would have died if I didn't have a Savior. He died forsaken of God. He died in darkness. He died under the awful wrath of God. He experienced everything about sin with the exception of the commission of it. What all does that mean? I don't know. But he did. He experienced the guilt, the shame, the darkness, the horror, because my sin became his sin. He took my sins and my sorrows and made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. And just as truly, as God lifted my sin off me and placed it upon him, God takes the righteousness and the merit of his dear Son and imputes it to me so that it's mine. It's mine. Isaiah 54:17 says, their righteousness is of me. Their personal righteousness. I've got a personal righteousness. I surely do. It's the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my personal righteousness. I love that passage of scripture in Revelation 9:18. Unto her was Revelation 19:8. Unto her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. And this is the righteousness of the saints. I've heard people say, that's the righteous deeds of the saints. Oh, man, are you that crazy? Do you believe any of your deeds could look like this is the righteousness and merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteousness of the saints. Yes, a sinner can be righteous. Righteous by imputation. Look in Romans 5. You're there in Romans, verse 17. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the, what's that word? Gift. Gift. The gift of righteousness. Righteousness is a gift. It's the free gift of God given to all of His elect, all for whom Christ died. It is a gift. And everybody that God gives this gift to, you know what they do? They receive it. They receive it. If you don't receive it, God never gave it. But if you receive it, this is my righteousness before God. I'm scared to death to look any other way but this. The only righteousness I have is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. I think of people talking about higher rewards in heaven, like you can add something to His righteousness and get a higher. That's so offensive. What could you do to make His righteousness better? That's blasphemous. His righteousness is the only righteousness, the righteousness that is the gift of God. And I can know whether or not He's given it to me by, have I received this gift? Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 3. Verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. My fourth point, righteous by nature. Righteous by nature. Righteous by union. Righteous by imputation. Righteous by gift. And righteous by nature. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Now, how can that be understood in light of Romans chapter 3, verse 10, that we heard last night? There is none righteous. No, not one. There's none that understands. There's none that seeketh after God. They've all gone out of the way. They've together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Now, what's this about he that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous? Well, look in 1 John chapter 2. Verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, do you know that? Do you know that? He is righteous. I know that. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Is birth of him. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. This is what could be called the impartation of righteousness. Righteousness being imparted. Now somebody says, well, that word impartation's not in the Bible. Is it a good term? I don't know. I don't know what else to say about it. Trinity's not in the Bible, but it's a pretty good term, isn't it? Pretty good. I shouldn't say that. I'm sorry. It's a glorious term. The doctrine is taught. I don't know what word to use, but the doctrine's taught. When God saves somebody, they become a partaker of the divine nature. Amen. It's called the new birth. Born of God, a holy nature. A nature that does not sin. Righteousness does not sin. If it can sin, it ain't righteous. Righteousness does not sin. He that's born of God sinneth not. He can't. He lacks the ability. God's seed remains in him. Now, Romans chapter 5, this kind of helps me to understand this. Verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, talking about Adam's sin, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. When Adam sinned, everybody that was in him was condemned. That's what Scripture teaches, isn't it? His sin was charged to me. I was condemned. I did it. I did it. I can't just say it was charged to me. No, I did it. When Adam did it, I did it. And it was charged to me. Now look in verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Now not only did his sin become mine, that act of transgression, but his fallen nature. Remember, he died when he sinned. And I was made a sinner so that I was brought into this world with his nature, a sinful nature. But in the same manner, just as his sin was charged to me and became mine, and his sinful nature was passed on to me, original sin, that's why I was born a sinner. In the same manner, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ is charged to me and becomes mine. And in the new birth, his nature. And I don't understand this. I really don't understand it. I just believe it because it's what the Scripture teaches. You know, you believe the mysteries of God. You can't much understand them, but you believe them. His nature. Partakers of the divine nature. He that's born of the Spirit is Spirit. Is passed on to me. Now, because of that, turn with me. I want you to look at this. 2 Peter. Lot. Brother Lot. Verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto all those after that should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot. That's God's description of Lot. Just Lot. Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that, what? Righteous man. Righteous man. Dwelling among them and in seeing and hearing, vexed his what? Righteous soul. Righteous soul. From day to day with their unlawful deeds. Righteous by nature. Now here's the last one. Turn back to Romans 4. Verse 5. But him that worketh not. I reckon about the hardest thing in the world to do is to work not. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. Now there's the grace of God right there. He justifies the ungodly. Aren't you thankful for that? It says his faith is counted for righteousness. His faith is counted for righteousness. Question. Does that mean that because we can't work out a personal righteousness, that God kind of lowers the terms and accepts faith instead as righteousness? His faith is counted as righteousness. That act of faith, that's righteousness. Now you know better than that. You know better than that. God's not lowering his terms. Well, what's he mean when he says his faith is counted for righteousness? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you can see it, you don't need faith. You know, somebody once said an anchor that you can see isn't doing you any good. The only anchor that does you any good is thrown off the boat, down in, you can't see it. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Now, let me tell you some things I can't see. I cannot see my eternal union with the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't see that I've always been united to him. Before the stars ever twinkled, before the sun ever shined, I was in the Lord Jesus Christ, one with him. That he knew me before I was formed in the womb. That I had personality before God, and he knew me and he loved me when I had no existence. I can't see that. Can you? Of course you can't. Well, what's the evidence it's so? Faith. I believe the gospel. I really am relying on the Lord Jesus Christ as my righteousness before God. I'm relying on my eternal union with him. That what he did. That's what I'm relying on. Do you know that's the evidence that it's so? That's the evidence that I've been eternally united to Christ. I didn't see him imputing the righteousness of his son to me. He didn't give me some kind of document saying it's so. So how do I know he really did it? How do I know? I remember one time hearing a preacher preach. He's one of these preachers who, he got caught up in some kind of scandal. And they were interviewing him about this scandal. And he said, hey, I've taken those sins and I put them under the blood. Oh. You can do that? You don't have the authority to do anything like that. Only God can do that.
Amen.
Now, what is the evidence that he's done this for me? That he's imputed the righteousness of his son to me? And that he took my sin and placed it upon Christ? And this was a transaction I had nothing to do with. I had no hand in this. How can I know it was done for me? Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Do you believe? I'm not asking you if you believe that Christ died for your sins. I'm not asking you that. But I'm asking you this. Do you believe he's the Son of God? Do you believe that if he died for you, you must be saved? Are you relying only upon him as everything in your salvation? I don't mean 99%. I mean faith is the evidence of things not seen. Well, how can I know he's given me this gift of righteousness? I can't see it. How do I know he's given it to me? Faith is the evidence of things not seen. If he's given you this righteousness, I know this, you've received it. You've received it. Now, how in the world can I really believe that I have a righteous, holy nature? I look within my heart, and I don't even want to describe what I see. A holy nature? Can I look within myself and say, yep, got it down, buddy. You know, I've got this holy... No. How do I know I have a holy nature that doesn't sin? Faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. That's the only evidence. It's the evidence of things not seen. And this is what the Bible calls the Lord our righteousness. Jeremiah 23:6, this is the name wherewith he shall be called, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord our righteousness. And then in Jeremiah 33:16, it says, this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Me and the Lord have the same name.
Amen.
Same name. Amen. You know why? Because we're one. Whatever his name is, my name is. Whatever he did, I did. The Lord our righteousness. This is that fine linen garment, clean and white. This is that wrought gold that makes the king's daughter all glorious within. This is the best robe of the prodigal. Paul said in Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God, it's not meat and drink. It's righteousness. It's peace. The peace that I feel, the peace God has with me, because his righteousness is my righteousness. And joy in the Holy Ghost. That's how a sinner can be righteous. Amen.
Amen.